Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CE Okoye Podcast.
All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very special episode because I have the rare privilege of hosting one of my this guy I'm hosting today is someone I actually admire. I used to admire him from afar till I had the opportunity to know him up close. He's a very, very brilliant person. He's a very intelligent person, and above all, he's someone who holds a lot of values, and one of them in particular is when it has to do with men. Generally, he's very passionate about men, about boys, and you know, he's if there's anything I am clear about is his mission, you know. And I think I'll be correct to say that he is sent for the purpose of winning back men, or bringing them into their real identity and what they are meant to do, what they are meant to achieve, who they are meant to be, you know, in the society. Anyway, I'm not going to talk much. I'll just go ahead and introduce him, and then as we go on, you'll get to know more about him. He is no other than Abasia Khan.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chimaize. I don't take this lightly. I don't take this like an everyday thing. It's an opportunity, and it means a lot. It means a lot to me. I'm not going to take it for granted.
Thank you so much. And it's very important I state this. I'm actually in his studio, so he is the one actually welcoming me. So thank you so much for giving me your space. It's a big deal. You guys, if you want to know more about sound, you want to know more about the technical part of sound and all of that, he's a very seasoned musician also. So at the end of this episode, I'm going to put his details out there, so if you want to reach out, you can reach out, and he's always available to help out. All right, so we'll just jump right into what we have to talk about. But before we continue, I said I was going to ask you this. What is it that captivates you so much about music? Like, I know that you love music so much, so tell us, what is, like me, let me give you an instance. Like me, whenever I'm in a place where you're making music, I feel like Jay-Z or Don Jazzy, you know, like I feel like I'm on top of the world. So I want to also hear from you, like, what, when we talk about music, what is it to you?
Well, let's see, I was born into a musical family.
Okay.
So I feel like I was hearing music even before
you were born.
You know? A very close friend of mine, a pastor in one of my churches in Ilorin, he used to talk about an instance where his wife was pregnant, and he used to, anytime the child was kicking, and he would say, hey girl, you know. And then when she was born, she was crying all over the place, and then he was even away from, he was just a little bit a distance away, she wasn't even seeing him, so he just said, hey girl, and next thing she was quiet.
Wow.
And she raised her head to recognize the person behind the voice.
Yes,
so that's when I knew that, you know. And we also had stories where we had people like ushers who used to go to church when choir is rehearsing, and then when they had their children, I've seen so many instances where the children come up and then they're attracted to the drums or to the piano,
you know.
So even before birth, children can actually hear you know, things going on around them, so they recognize the sound. So I think that I was bred in this kind of environment. So coming into this space, both my parents saying, my dad takes his music seriously, he plays the guitar, and you know, he can also write music, he's a good musician. So I think I took after, you know, these people.
Today we are talking about men, and like I said when I was introducing Abbas, I said he's one guy I know who is very passionate about men. He's someone who is very passionate about bringing men into their real identity. So today what we're talking about is the male man. And so but before we go into what we have to say, I want you to just tell us generally, Just tell us your general perspective when we talk about the mailman.
Okay, first of all, I want to put out a disclaimer. We're just laying out our opinion based on experiences that we've seen work and based on books we have read. We're not telling you how to live your life. That's your
absolutely
business.
Sure,
in the
sure
end, it's your decision that will change. That will change you. They say change doesn't happen to us. We make change happen.
True, true.
So at the end of the day, it's your call. Whatever you want to do with what you're hearing, you can throw it out into the trash. It's your business. All right. Because at the end of the day, I discovered that a lot of men want to learn from experience. They don't want to learn from other men's experiences.
Mm.
And so in the end, you discuss stuff with them and they take it with a pinch of salt. They don't even bring up an argument that causes a discussion. And then 2 months, 3 months down the line, they run back to you, you know, crying about the same thing
you guys,
you know, you warned them about. You know, so a lot of men are like this. Okay, so let me answer the question. I see men as the progenitors.
Okay.
Of purpose, of mission, of vision. If you look at, if you go to big cities, you see skyscrapers, you see apps, you see business, you see startups, you know, you see revolutions happening. Most of it, these things are spearheaded by men, actually. And if you look at it, we are always trying to penetrate, trying to make a change to happen. The tendency of a man who is a masculine man is someone who wants to become, like now, let me give you a very good example. When you have a boy, he likes football. He likes things that boys would like table tennis, running around, playing rough sport and all of that. If you put a plate of food in front of this boy, he will begin to eat, and while he's eating, if he hears football bouncing outside, his interest in the food is actually gone. You know, his mind is now on the football. You see his mom will be saying, eat, finish your food first. You know, if he goes to play that football, after a while of playing that football, it's most likely that he will meet friends that do all this, you know, like they want to do all these things. They watch us. This next thing you know, that child is begin to be attracted to martial arts and stuff like that. You know, so men are people who they will receive different kinds of interest at different points of their lives, but what they do with those interests is what matters most. So they can actually up and leave a particular thing that they are doing and go to something else that catches their attention, and then they run with that for some time, and after some time they run with something else. So men are people who make things happen, basically. Let me just put it that way. They are focused, they have a purpose, they are determined. If they focus on something, they want to get something done. Most of the time, nothing can actually change what they have in mind. They just want to get that thing done. Those are men for you.
They are focused, purpose driven, and that is what a male man, that's what defines a man.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We'll just jump right into some of the we have a few myths that we want to debunk, or a few things that we want to throw more light into. You know, these are sayings or statements that we have grown to hear, or we've come to accept, because that's what society threw at us as we come in. That's what culture, that's what we come to meet, you know, in the culture that we are born into. And so, but the truth is that most of these things are not accurate as we hear them. So, but today, thank God that we have Abbas with us, and he's going to be helping us out with some of these myths. Number one is real men don't cry, or you say we hear statements like men shouldn't cry. So tell us about this. Real men. So any man that cries is not a real man.
I think it's deception actually. Men actually cry. The question is, what are you crying about? You know, what can you do about that thing that is making you cry? You understand? That's supposed to be the main bone of contention. You know, so if I lose someone, if I lose someone that was dear to me, or if I lose something or an opportunity, or I feel like I've gotten to a place where I was very close to what I wanted to get, I could actually cry about the loss of that opportunity, or I can bash myself for a time, you know, that okay, I wasn't there for this person I lost, or in spite of all that I did, you know, in spite of all of the stress, you know, in spite of how dear that person was to me, we lost that person. You understand? So I could cry about such things you can't do anything about. You know, it all depends. Everyone can handle, you know, shock to an extent. You know, so something could happen to you and you can't help it. There's nothing wrong with actually crying.
Okay.
You know, but it depends a lot. You know, if you're telling me that okay, maybe a man was in a relationship with a woman and she walked out on him and he's now crying. That's the one.
Like, you don't understand, bros.
That's the one. Okay. Well, I may not be able to blame the person, because the person may be at a point where, you know, knowledge is what determines our actions most of the time. If you have knowledge about a particular thing and that thing happens, if you've been able to wrap your head around the circumstances, so you may not cry. I've not cried about a heartbreak before, but there was a time where I did not feel like eating. You know, for quite a while. This was years ago, when in my secondary school days or so. You know, but looking back now, if I understood female nature, you understand? I would have just laughed about it. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. This is what is going on. You get? So it depends a lot on
the circumstances.
Yes, what the man is crying about. What he could have done about that situation. If you're experiencing trauma, crying could actually help you to heal. You understand? Yeah. Women cry a lot, and you see that most of them are really strong when it comes to handling some things. You know, so men should learn how to actually cry when necessary. You understand? You don't need to start like a child. You understand? You can sit down and allow yourself to grieve.
Yes.
You know, because it's actually necessary in the healing process.
Oh, awesome. In fact, I was even going to ask before you hit it that is there a place for vulnerability as a man? You know, because when we talk about being vulnerable, is you being open.
Yes.
You know, at times we do these things because we feel that okay, there's a particular image that I should put out there as a man.
Yes.
Nobody expects me to whine. Nobody expects me to complain. Nobody expects. Now this goes back to something you said when we started. Every man is seen as a solution giver. So because of that foundation, I cannot now go ahead and start saying, oh, this, that, you know, whining about every little thing. I want to just cry about it.
Okay.
The first line of action is to think up a solution.
Yes.
But I think it is not totally bad. I don't think it's totally out of place for you to give yourself room, like you said, give yourself room to grieve. You know,
okay.
Give yourself room to be vulnerable.
Yes.
Give yourself room to make mistakes sometimes.
Yes.
It is actually okay if you don't get things right.
Yes.
It's actually okay if you fail.
Mm.
So long, like you said, so long as you are actually doing something.
Yes.
To get out of where you are at the time.
Yeah.
Don't take forever to cry. Don't take forever to grieve. Don't take forever to mourn.
Yeah.
You know, allow yourself to cry and cry well. Like you said, some you made mention women being able, they are better at handling stuff because they have the ability to be emotional,
yes.
to express how they feel. So the same thing goes for us. And you know, it's not just these things that we know today are things that we learned from watching our parents, watching our fathers. Our fathers, you see, like my father, it's just recently my dad learned how to start talking to people, like going to meet people, talk to someone, you know. My dad believes that when there's a problem, handle it.
Yes.
You are the, it starts and ends with you.
Okay.
That's my dad for you. But then in recent times I've seen my dad being more, you know, relating with people more. Yes. Not like he's not good with people, but you see, problem, the problem is my own.
Yes.
So let me handle it. My family is my problem. Yes. My, you know, so stuff like that. So yeah, we agree, we totally agree with what you've said. So the second one is, the true test of a man's masculinity is in his ability to bottle up his emotions.
Okay.
It still has something to do with the first one. Yes. But I need you to tell us more about this. Does it make a man really a man because he bottles, he has, what instance can I use now about emotions? Like, okay, let's take for instance somebody who you're feeling a pain, not body pain, maybe something is, you're hurting in a particular area. Now, okay. I know that going to therapy, you will be required to tell the therapist everything.
Yes.
It's the same thing as when they say a problem shared is half solved.
Mm.
You cannot solve your problem by keeping it to yourself. Like in the popular Nigerian parlance where they will say, don't tight the world to your chest. So tell us about this.
Okay, bottling up your emotions can actually cause more harm than good. When you look at people who just walk into the busy road, like, you know, and just take their lives, most times it's as a result of bottling up emotions
over time.
You understand? Over a period of time, you know, you are there, you know, you're thinking, what can I do? But you see that things are not working, and instead of you to reach out to someone, Abby, just talk to someone, you know, about what you're experiencing. It's not everyone who has the ability to, God, we're not created to be self-sufficient, you understand? We're created to depend on other people in one way or the other. You know, that's why you see, you know, an employer, after some time you'll become close to his employees, and then some of them he will begin to confide in them. You know, that's because probably people who he has close to them, they are not as accessible as these other people he finds in his workplace. You know, so there's nothing to gain in bottling up your emotions. It depends on how you bring it out at the end of the day. It's how you bring it out, how you communicate your emotions. That's the main thing. It's not necessarily about hiding it or bottling it up. Even when men come down from their cars and fight on the road, it's emotions that they are bringing
out.
Understand? And sometimes this is as a result of emotions from home, things that have built up that they are not dealing with. The next person will touch them, like they come down and they bring it out. You understand? So a transfer of aggression. So it's not, the issue is how you communicate.
Let's dwell there a bit, because this is something that is very, very important. So now when we talk of emotions, So what we're now saying is it's important for you to actually, you know, express.
Yes.
But now it is the mode of expression. Yes. And so I want to even go ahead to say that person you're having that issue with,
yes,
at that time that you're around there, even scripture says, don't allow something to go beyond, you know, the dawn,
okay,
you know,
yes.
The setting of the brush, sun, yeah, hair, you know. So, and one thing, it's particular with men because of the expectation that society has. Don't complain too much. Don't complain too much. You're supposed to be the solution bringer and all, yes, you know, all those things. But these are it's not. I'm not going to say it's an error, because I don't want to step on any toes, but I'll say it's not totally, you know, accurate.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. I like using business relationships for, in fact, towards the end of last year, I stopped talking to married people because I usually tell myself that I don't have the right to talk to them yet.
Mm.
You know, so I talk to, if I didn't even talk to women again, I talk to just men.
Mm.
You know, I talk to just guys. And the conversations I have with men who are married is something that will affect men generally.
Mm.
So at the end of it, when you look at it, you won't tell me that, okay, I don't have the right to talk to you since I'm not married, but at least I have the right to talk to you since I'm a man.
Man. Yeah.
Okay, so in a business relationship, like, let's take for instance a choir. I use that as example because I also talk to music directors too, on, you know, leadership strategies. For instance, lateness. A lot of music teams have issues with lateness, where rehearsal is for 5 and you see people just lollygagging, like just coming slowly, you know, around like 5:15, 5:30. You know, and they give you funny excuses, you know. Most of the time, the person who is in charge of that team, sometimes it will flare up.
Yeah.
But the issue is usually, how are you running your own life? Because if a rehearsal is supposed to start at 5 and you keep showing up at 4:50 as the person in charge, you can actually stand there like, why are you here by this time? Why are you here by this time? And they will give you a good, in fact, they actually know that you will always be there on time. So they will begin to learn to turn up on time.
Mm.
You get?
So it starts with,
so
you,
leadership is by example, and so it is with the men.
Mm.
If you are in a relationship, a business, all relationships are business relationships. That's the truth. All women have ulterior motives, so men should begin to have ulterior motives too. So in such a business relationship, you live by example. You get?
Mm.
So some people, like if a woman's dad was inconsistent, she's most likely to be inconsistent. She's most likely to meet a man who is inconsistent. So if she meets a man who is consistent,
it brings,
she will begin to make great effort to pick up, because you are a lot different from her dad. It's just the truth. Now, what would you do in that situation? If it was I don't even want to get into relationships really today.
Mm.
So you are just supposed to say, if you are something, you say you are that thing and be that thing.
Mm.
If I'm going to call you at 4, I will call you at 4.
Mm.
If we have a meeting at a location at 5, you will see me by 5 o'clock.
Mm.
You know, and over time, she begin to know that if this guy says this, he's going to do what he said he would do.
Mm.
It's the trait of a man.
Mm.
Men are meant to be consistent.
Mm.
You understand? So we are really talking about men today.
Yeah.
So if a man says, I'm going to be there at 6 o'clock, if he's not going to be there at 6, he's going to call you long before time.
Mm.
And say, okay, this happened. This meeting cannot work. he's not even not going to reschedule because he knows that you also might have your engagements. You say, okay, this meeting cannot work. How about so time, so day?
Mm.
You understand? Yeah. Or depending on the circumstances, probably if it can be rescheduled, then you can reschedule it later in the day. That's how a man is supposed to be. A man is not supposed to be inconsistent. Like, you wake up early, you get your stuff done, you be a consistent, because I don't know how to put it into words, but the reason why we have the problems we have in our relationships is because of inconsistency. When you are not a centered man, you know, you have a purpose. You say you're going to be up and you're going to be here at 5 o'clock, and then you are still pressing phone or doing something that is not so relevant. And at the end of the day, women actually look at, when I mentioned that women enter into relationship with ulterior motives, they enter into relationships looking at your future.
Yes. So it's not like, it's not necessarily ulterior motive in a bad way.
Not in a bad way. So they're entering into it looking at what can it become,
the prospects,
based on what it's doing currently.
True.
You understand? So
true.
But take note that you're not consistent because you want to get a woman.
Just because it's who you are.
I think another time we're going to talk about the reasons why, because you're not just here for yourself. You're here for your sisters, you're here for your parents, you're actually their survival strategy. No matter how you want to look at it, they've put in a lot of money into you, and at least it's an investment. It's expected that at some point in time they're going to get some returns. You get it. So you're not being consistent because of a woman, you're being consistent because of yourself, your family. You are a complete person. Nobody's coming from outside to come and motivate you to become the man that you're supposed to become.
Of course.
You know, so we're supposed to be able to handle ourselves. So if you did something that I'm pissed off about, now this is easy to say because I'm actually still working on myself. If you see that, if you pick up the phone to have this conversation now, it won't turn out well. Then you find an appropriate time. Now, relationship between the men and women is not usually an ideal business relationship, because you have feminine tendencies, you have masculine tendencies, the way women behave, which some men may not even be able to wrap their heads around. So if we say this is how you do this, it may not actually work in all situations. You understand?
Because they are dynamic.
So, but the best way for the first step to get a working man-woman relationship is to be a male man, like we said. Be able to get yourself together, get things working by yourself. If things are not working, locate your friends. You know, you should have a circle of friends. You know, as you're moving up, you know, you have a social circle. You have family. You have people you're working with, you know. So you are bringing something to the table. They know how valuable you are. So that's how you negotiate. You negotiate with what you're bringing to the table, not your present condition. You say, oh, I'm almost dying, I've not eaten since morning, give me a job. No, that's not how it works. I can do this for you. That's why you need to employ me. You get? So when you become a centered man, you can get yourself together, you can take care of the things you need, take care of your friends and your family. And then somebody is walking into your life, that person is walking in with a mentality that this guy doesn't need my motivation to get stuff done. You understand? So when you guys find yourself in situations where she's consistent, she already knows that this guy could take care of himself before I came. You know, so I'm coming to something that is actually made. So I have to check myself. If not, now next. You get? So, but if you want to have this conversation with a woman, that's the part I don't. I'm having conversation with men and how men should deal with. The first thing is
be a whole man.
That's just it.
Okay, awesome. We have spent so I know that this is something that 10 minutes, 1 hour will not even be enough. But that's for another time. Let's go to the next point. This is one that is very common. This is one that gets everywhere sparking when we get to hear stuff like this. A man who lets his wife or his girlfriend handle financial obligations is a sissy. So real quick, just tell us about this.
This is a dicey one, but okay.
Like, you're not a real man if you allow a woman pay for your stuff.
Okay. I don't agree because there may be so many situations surrounding, you know, that particular incident. Anything can actually happen.
Yes.
To a man, he can actually lose everything, and the situation surrounding your loss of your money and your property is what will determine your actions. For instance, if a man is single and he has $150 million, you know, and then he goes into a business deal and he lost all that money, if that guy is crying, he can cry, but he should not cry for long. Why? Because if you have a skill set, if you know your onions in your trade, in fact, you can actually go to any city in a sane environment. You know, Nigeria is a different place. You can go to any city and introduce yourself to people who need your services and begin to start up. That's how a man is supposed to be. A man is supposed to be someone who can up and leave anything he's doing, go to another place and be able to build. Look at the story of Jacob. You understand?
Yes.
So he can up and leave at any time. I've heard stories of where men just stood up, left their family. I don't support. But I'm just talking about that masculine trait. I use the instance of a child. At a point, it's mostly men who are multi-talented instrumentalists. Because at some point he was playing drums and he played it to a particular level, and then all of a sudden he entered bass. At some point he entered piano. That's how men are supposed to be. They are consistent with their learning process. Consistently learning. A man should not tell himself, this is who I am, I can't do this. I lie. You are supposed to be able to have the ability to do multiple things, not everything, multiple things. So, if we say that a man is a sissy if he allows his girlfriend or his wife, I'm going to focus on his wife because I'm assuming that, okay, they have kids.
Okay.
You get now, because if you have kids and maybe you lost everything, and maybe while both of you were building, she's a little bit stable. Put a deadline to it, except maybe you have a health issue, you know, that holds you down, but it shouldn't be for an extended period of time. You know, we encourage men to keep learning. You know, we always have the impression that a man is only bringing money. You're not just bringing money. You get
bringing leadership.
You are bringing leadership. You're bringing control. No matter how much money a woman is bringing, without the man, there's a way the children are not going to be raised. A boy is raised by a dad, not by a mom. She can take care of things, send him to school, but a section of his mind has not been taken care of. He has to go and live with a masculine man to know how to run things. Run things with men, run things with women. You understand? So there are things a woman cannot teach a boy child. There are things a woman cannot also teach a girl child. Because if you observe, you'll notice that most girls are drawn to their dads more than their mom. You get? So a man is not just bringing money. So at some point it can actually happen to any man. It happened to my dad at some point. You know, and it's as if the wall was crumbling. this guy did things. He drive taxi, sir. You understand? The guy a hustle. You get so what you are bringing may not be enough, but you must.
You're doing something.
Yes,
absolutely. All right, so I can say that you've been able to do justice to all of that. When we're talking about the second point, you said something that brought something else to my attention, and I actually that is what I wanted to say, is just to do a major shout out to my dad. Like, sometimes I catch myself in a particular state, and then I ask myself, what would daddy do in this situation? So you see, I think I totally agree with what you said last, when you said that there are some things a boy child can only learn watching, not just hearing, but watching his father or a male figure, in this case now his father do. You understand? Right now my dad has nothing less than 4 toolboxes in the house. There's this really archaic one that when you pull up the lever, closes. When you push it down, my dad has 2 of that, and then 2 of the regular wooden ones.
Okay,
4. There's nothing that I can't remember in the history, of life totally. I can't remember the day my dad called anybody to fix anything in the house. Whether it's plumbing,
yes,
my father is a plumber. Electrical work, that one. My dad used to leak wire, used to leak wire like lollipop. You know, all of these things. So it had a way of forming me. I am not totally like that, because you see me. Maybe it's the society we've come into now, where you want to outsource for. You have a lot of. Like this now. When you go on Instagram, you see. Call me to fix your plumbing, all those things. So now all those things have, that's not my excuse anyway, because sometimes I still ice and I see my, it's like I can see my dad looking at me and shaking his head saying, son, this is not how I brought you up. I didn't bring you up like this, boy. So sometimes I catch myself saying, no, I'll do this one by myself. This one I'll do by myself. Let my dad just be proud wherever he is, you know. So consciously or unconsciously, and I'm saying this to the men, the things you do have a way of forming the mindset of your children, especially your sons. Look today, the corruption. I have an episode on this where we talk, that was the October 1st special.
Yes.
How can I help? We talk about corruption. We talk about injustice. We talk about robbery, crime, and all of that. The solution, I can say this with all confidence, that the solution to that problem and all the problems in our nation today goes back to the family.
Yes, I totally agree.
It goes back to the family, because if you pass on the right values,
yes,
don't leave. My pastor said something last week. He said, "Leave the raising to the raising of children is supposed to be the parents' responsibility.
It's not even the church responsibility.
It's not the church responsibility.
Right. Now is conversation for another day.
It's not the church responsibility. And I wish people can hear this and just take it. The responsibility of raising your children is 100% your responsibility. Especially as a father, you're not just there to bring money for food, money for clothes. Then when it is time to raise it, you say, go and meet your mommy. Go and meet your
mommy. I have a very good example. When I was much younger, when Port Harcourt then, my dad lost his job. And so my dad actually sent my mom to finish up an MSc, you know, after she finished, well trained. My mom is a seasoned teacher. In fact, I think it was one of his best decisions, because when he lost his job, the kind of certificate he got, City and Guilds, it was not really accepted. So at the time this thing happened, he couldn't do much, you know, so he was just hustling. He started a company, you know, and then all the politics of getting contracts and all of that. So my mom at some point became the main person. She was taking care of business. But you know, the pressure, masculine pressure is not for women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she started talking, she started nagging.
Mm.
We're staying in a 3-bedroom. You know, all those Port Harcourt Diobo houses where you have the first room, the second room is just behind, the third room is just behind. You have a passage this side, passage this side.
Mm.
So the three rooms are connected with doors.
Mm.
They are connected serially. So the parlor was the first one. The second one was my mom's and my dad's bedroom. The third one was the children's bedroom. So in the night, we'll be hearing my mom nagging.
Mm.
So imagine the person who was sleeping on the same bed
mm-hmm.
with her. So one of those days, I heard my dad saying, "You're very lucky. I used to be a boxer." Like, he was just talking, like, he was really pissed off. I never, not even one time, did he raise his hand to hit my mom. As in, not even one time. Or even this one, they do faking, they carry hands, the Holy Spirit that's holding my hand. He never. So even when my younger sister got married, he was here now. I remember the guy was, I think they were leaving. So he called the guy, he said, "Come." When the guy came, because me, I was even waiting for him to tell the guy, even me, I'll tell him. He said, "We don't beat women in our house. Even slap self, we know they slap." And you know, that was one of the things where I knew he was not lying.
Yeah,
you get.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not something he was just saying, it's something he was doing. I've seen him do it. You get. I've never seen my dad smoke. I know he used to do, I've seen some pictures where he was with friends and a lot of bottles. So I know probably he used to do bottles. So I've seen him in pictures where there were some fine girls too. I'm very likely to take those tendencies. You get. But the one I've never seen him do is unusual for me to do it. You get me?
Yes.
Now, I don't need somebody to, when somebody's telling me, "You don't beat me," I just laugh. I'm like, you don't need to have a conversation with me.
Of course.
Because I not only say it, I actually leave it.
Yes.
You get. So, it's not just saying this is how you treat, they actually see how you treat women. It's not just saying this is how you see women. The child will learn. In fact, one particular instance, you know, I think it was on Twitter, we're talking about the polygamous nature of men, and then someone was saying that a child won't be able to handle, a man won't be able to handle multiple women and all of that. And and what came to my mind was, if a child is in a home where the dad has multiple wives, he doesn't need to go to school where they will teach him how to handle multiple women. Already knows. You get. So we learn, there are things the boy child cannot learn from the mom. No matter what happens. They said maybe if the dad is no more, they send him to the uncle. If the uncle is the kind of man you want your child to become, you understand? You send him there. You know, just like you said, that we are gradually shifting the responsibility of raising our children to the church. We send them to secondary school. From secondary school, there were times where this idea, when it's public holiday, you see parents will still come and drop their children to be playing inside the school compound just because they cannot handle the kids at home. You know, so pay exorbitant amounts of money to schools, you know, to teach our children values is not possible. It has to happen in the family.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. We've already spent a long time on this, and we're going to be drawing the curtains here. Before we go, just share with us your social media handles so that people can, you know, get to connect with you.
Okay. If you search for, I use just one name on Facebook.
Okay.
Let me even check. It's been a
Abasiakan.
Yes, Abasiakan. If you just search Abasiakan, you'll find two pages. One of them is a fans slash Facebook page, and the other one is my Facebook profile. And then on Twitter, _ABSKN_
Okay.
Yes.
Alright.
_ABSKN_ That's my Twitter handle. And then
Instagram.
Instagram. It's Abasiakhan. Abasiakhan with an H after the K.
Okay.
ITS Abasiakhan. H after the K.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for sharing these ideas, these things that you know about men generally with us, and we hope that we'll be hearing from you again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, yes. Look forward to.
Yes.
I don't have a meet, more, but we'll deal with it.
Yes,
another
we'll talk.
Time.
We'll talk
yes,
more.
We'll yeah. talk more. You know.
Thank you so much for listening. If you loved what you heard, please subscribe. Share the link with friends and loved ones as well, so they can hear what you've heard too. Also, follow me on Facebook, Chima Okoye, on Instagram at C Okoye, that is CEEOKOYE, and on Twitter at Okoye CE, so we can link up and get notifications when my new episodes drop. Also, for sponsorship and ads, kindly send a mail to okoyechima84@gmail.com. That is okoyechima84@gmail.com. Have a blessed week ahead.